giving glory, honor, and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the ministers, deacons, everyone on the call this morning. It's a blessing to again teach and preach the Word of God. Again, if you would turn in your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, let us start reading at verse 1, and we will stop at verse 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting at verse 1, and I will be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which is has already been, and that what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past." God bless the reading of his word. Let us look again at verse 14, which reads, "I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him." And I want to focus on this verse 14 and all of the other verses that we have read for the short time that we have this morning, using the sermon title, "The God of Time." The God of Time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you because you are God. And you're God over all, and you are God over time. And you have given us, Lord God, a period of time to be on this earth, to live, to love, to laugh, to grow, to learn, Lord God, of who you are and how you've loved us so. So, God, I pray, O Heavenly Father, that you help us all to recognize this precious gift of time that you've given us, and that we recognize, Lord God, how important it is to utilize that time, Lord, not to our glory, but to your glory. Help us, Lord God, to redeem the time. Help us, Lord God, to recognize that the times indeed are changing. And help us, Lord God, to recognize the season that we're in and to walk in a way that is worthy of you in that season. God, we thank you, O Heavenly Father, that despite what happens in time, you are there. You're the God of the past, you're God of present, and you're the God of time to come. And we look to you, Heavenly Father, as that God of time. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, that we pray. Amen. Now, right now, there is this Facebook trend called the Then and Now Challenge. And people are posting a picture of themselves from back in the day compared to a picture of what they look like right now. And on Thursday, my brother Alan, he posted a couple of such pictures, including a picture of me and him standing in what looked like the front yard at my grandparents' house up on Washington Avenue in South Apopka. And we apparently had just come from church because we were both looking mighty clean. And I was wearing a tan leisure suit, one of the trademarks from the 1970s that carried over into the early 1980s when that photo was taken. And I looked at those photos and some of the other photos on Facebook that other people had posted and thought about how every person bears the marks of time in the aging process. Now, I do not know what happened to that leisure suit that I was wearing that day over 40 years ago, but one thing I know for certain, because of time, I have grown. And even if I wanted to put on that tan leisure suit again, I could not because I have since outgrown that suit. Right now, I could not even get my hand through the sleeve of that kid-sized leisure suit, much less try to wear the entire suit. And really, when you look at it, that is often the problem that many of us face in life, trying to do now something in a way that does not work anymore, trying to use something that really does not work anymore, or trying to operate in a way that we are used to operating in, but because we are unwilling or unable to operate in a way that the times now demand. But one thing is for sure, we all know somebody that seems to always have the answers to every problem, every solution. And I can tell you that I have plenty of relatives across the country. Whenever they see a problem or hear about a problem, I mean, they immediately have the answer, and you can't tell them anything. What you need to do is this, and what they should be doing is that. But seasons change, and wisdom tells us that it's okay not to have every answer when the season has changed. Because God knows that we will not always have all the answers to when to do what, when. When we find ourselves in a new season that we've not been in before, it's okay to go into that season not knowing exactly what to do. But what makes you wise is when you know that the season has changed, and when you know that you have the confidence to admit what you do not know and have a willingness and a determination to take action to get the right answer, and most of all, know how to seek the right answer. The wise man looks to the Apostle James in his direction, which says that if you lack wisdom, then you should ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. And this applies to time as well. With wisdom and the power of God, we can take what time we have and allow that time to work with us and not against us. So, for example, if I start saving what I can now for my kids' college or for my retirement, I won't have to save as much later and perhaps work as long because of compound interest and the time value of money and knowing that it takes money to make money, then I can allow time to work with me and not against me. Or if I'm eating right today and getting the proper rest today and exercising today while I'm able and make that a daily habit, well, then my body will not deteriorate as quickly as I get older, and I will have greater strength to resist the sickness and the disease that may come today or may come tomorrow because of what I am doing today. Or if I study my Bible today and pray without ceasing today and show the love of Christ to others today, then I will be able to fight and win the spiritual battles of tomorrow. I do these things now, today, because I'm redeeming the time, because the days are evil, as it says in Ephesians chapter 5. So I do what I need to do today in order to do what I want to do tomorrow, because I want time to work with me and not against me. So yes, seasons change, can't wear that kid's leisure suit from 40 years ago. Times change. Seasons change. I may not be able to do what I did yesterday today because times change. Seasons change. Living in a season of COVID right now, I can't just go outside without a mask and just touch everything and touch my face and not expect it to eventually have consequences. Times change, seasons change. And yes, seasons are changing, the times are changing, but we do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And that's what really we are seeing here when we look at Ephesians chapter 3 here in our Bible, this passage that we're focused on this morning. The book of Ecclesiastes is one of the five wisdom books of the Old Testament, and there are five wisdom books. This is one of five, the other four books being Psalms, Job, Proverbs, and the Songs of Solomon. But King Solomon, he wrote this near the end of his life. And if you know anything about him, he was known because of his wisdom. He wanted it to be known that he had made mistakes throughout his life, but that he wanted generations that came behind him to know what mistakes that he made and not to make the same mistakes. The purpose of Ecclesiastes was to provide some wisdom to try to spare future generations the suffering and misery of seeking after foolish things, of seeking after meaningless things, of seeking so hard after things that no longer matter once you are dead and gone. Solomon sought to put life in some proper perspective. And so when we come here to chapter 3, King Solomon began by noting how life is a series of seasons after seasons, one season after the other, time after time, one time after the other. In essence, the passage here is reminding us that change is inevitable, that really the only constant in this world will be change. Times of good health, times of bad health, times of prosperity, times of lack. But at the end of it all, the passage is saying here that God is a God of time to which everyone must give an account when all is said and done. Time began at creation. We know from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning of what, you might ask? The answer is in the beginning of time. But time is not an unlimited resource. Time is a finite resource. Every single solitary thing we do costs us a piece of precious time on earth. And because God is eternal, he is above the time that he created. Time belongs to God. Time started with God, and time will end with God. And because we are finite as we move through time, our finite minds, our finite capacity for understanding should only make us look to God, who is infinite and who is the God of time. Time is linear in that once a period of time is past, it is past. So when January 31st, 2021 is past and gone, it is past and gone. That's why the late theologian A.W. Tozer, he wrote that time is a resource that is non-renewable and non-transferable. You cannot store it up, slow it up, hold it up, divide it up, or give it up. You cannot hoard it up or save it for a rainy day. When time is lost, it is unrecoverable. When you kill time, remember that it has no resurrection. And unfortunately, most people do not realize how precious time is until later in their lives, until they are in the later years of their lives. One thing about money that has been lost, it can be recovered. If one opportunity is lost, it can be replaced by another opportunity. But when time is lost, it has gone forever. We cannot change the seasons of life, but we can make decisions that will affect how we live in those seasons, especially in the difficult seasons. Some are looking back at 2020 as a bad year and already are saying that 2021 has started off bad and looks like it's going to get worse. But rather than just hoping for the next season to come, rather than hoping for the next year to come, we just need to remember that God is with us in whatever time we are in now, whatever season we are in now, because he is God of time. I pointed back to verse 14, which reads, "I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him." This is because time serves God's ends and purposes. Now, God may not have caused whatever problems that you and I may be having, but God is allowing it. But yet, nothing gets out of God's control. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Because God is the master of time. He is the king of time. He is the God of time. And he is so control, or is in so much control of time, that, for example, when Joshua and the Israelites were in the middle of a battle against five other kingdoms to help the Gibeonites, it says in the Bible that God sent down stones from heaven to help to smite the enemy, and that Joshua prayed for the sun to stand still to give the Israelites time to complete their victory. And God answered Joshua's prayer because our God is the God of time. I'll say again that time is God's subject and time is God's servant. Even the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ happened in accordance with time. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 that when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because our God is the God of time, and he does things in his own set time. And so just as I move to my conclusion here, God controls and occupies the times past, God occupies and controls the times present, and God will occupy and control the time to come. And when time comes to an end, it will end with God just as it began with God. And this is why Moses wrote in Psalm 90, asking God to teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Moses understood that while the life of man is frail and short, God is eternal, and God has the answers on how to use each and every day. God knows the end from the beginning. He's sovereign, and he's working everything out for our good, to his glory. So whatever you're going through, if you are saved and his child, he will bring you through. If you're tired now, only God can bring you to a time of rest. If life is uncertain now, only God can bring you to a time of certainty. If you have problems, only God can bring you to a time when your issues and concerns have reached their final resolution. And when we recognize that everything belongs to God, that our lives belong to God, that our families belong to God, our possessions belong to God, we will also recognize, too, that our time belongs to him as well. So give God the time that you have. Even if you start out with just a little time, God can do a lot with a little. So as I conclude today, this last day of the first month of this year, 2020, one, my prayer is that God gives you and I daily direction about our time, that he truly teaches us all how to number our days, how to redeem the time, that we take what time God has given us and ask him, God, what do you want me to do with this time? God, how can I make the most of today in order to have a fruitful tomorrow? Not to my glory, O God, but to your glory. And I believe that if you ask God that question, those questions, he will give you the answers in his time and in his way. And then you and I can make the most of what we can with the time that God has given us. Because as verse 14 says, God does it that men should fear before him. He is the God of time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, O God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for showing us how seasons change, how times change, but yet you are constant through it all. You are the God of times past, you are the God of time present, and you are the God of time to come. And Lord God, we know that wherever we meet you, you are there, and you are in time, and you are the God over it. So help us, Lord God, to recognize the time that we have and to use it to the best of our ability. Show each and every one of us, Lord God, what must be done with the time that you have given us. Help us, Lord God, to recognize that there are times for work and times for rest. There are times, Lord God, for us to speak and times for us to be silent. There are times for us, Lord God, to have, Lord God, a willingness to move forward, and there are times when we just need to stand still. So, Lord God, we look to you for direction and guidance. Lord, help us to continue to grow stronger and stronger in you, that we can know how to redeem the time and to know, O Heavenly Father, that you are directing us through this time. Thank you, Lord God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.